Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing to look at, is Mormonism Christian? Long, but everyone interested in Mormonism should read this. It's a blog post by Dr. Roger E. Olson of Baylor University out of Waco, Texas. He's very critical of folks like us at MRM and other Christian missionary efforts that try very hard to present the biblical view of salvation to the Mormon people. But I think one of the reasons why he's so critical of us is because he's getting his information from a BYU professor, because he names him at least 20 times in this piece, a guy by the name of Robert L. Millett, who has certainly in the past several years made it an effort of his to try and convince evangelicals that Mormonism isn't as heretical as we might originally think. Unfortunately, Roger Olson has drank that Kool-Aid, and now he's very critical of folks like us, and not very nice sometimes about it either, is he, Eric?
No.
Well, anyway, we're going through his post, and we're looking at what he has to say in light of what Mormon leaders have taught, and even what some other BYU professors have taught. In yesterday's show, we mentioned a book that he brings up called LDS Beliefs, A Doctrinal Reference, and he states that this is a quantum leap when it comes to books written by James Talmadge and Bruce McConkie in how it expresses Mormon doctrine. Yesterday we talked about the theosis issue and how Robert L. Millett continually tells people that there is some kind of similarity between Eastern Orthodoxy and their view of theosis and the Mormon doctrine of deification. And certainly that is not true. But now he's going to move on to this idea of the great apostasy and how the book LDS Beliefs talks about this great apostasy.
He writes, "The chapter on the great apostasy is instructive and illustrative of the change in tone. While affirming the divine restoration of Christian authority with Joseph Smith and the founding of the LDS Church in 1830, the authors go out of their way to insist that God always had true followers throughout church history and people who strove to maintain authentic Christian faith in spite of the Catholic Church's general apostasy."
Mormons have always said that, well, all churches have some truth. It's just the Mormon church has all truth. But you've got to go a step further than that, because Mormonism has always taught that because of this great apostasy, that there was no authority on the face of the earth. In essence, there really were no true Christians, because even to this day, Mormonism would claim they have all the rights to even the bestowing of the Holy Ghost upon believers, and they don't believe, at least Mormon leaders have taught, that we, being outside of the Mormon church, do not really have the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Case in point, the church manual called Gospel Principles from 2009 on page 92, this is what it says. "One by one, the apostles," referring to the biblical apostles, "were killed or otherwise taken from the earth. Because of wickedness and apostasy, the apostolic authority and priesthood keys were also taken from the earth. The organization that Jesus Christ had established no longer existed, and confusion resulted. More and more error crept into church doctrine, and soon the dissolution of the church was complete. The period of time when the church no longer existed on earth is called the Great Apostasy."
Okay, let's think about that. If, as we believe as Christians, that we as individuals make up the church, and there is no church, as that just said, there are no Christians.
Well, yeah, and there's no spiritual gifts, there's no authority.
Yeah, so what does Dr. Olson think Mormonism really teaches on this? Just because these people who write the book LDS Beliefs, and by the way, let me mention again, they are not general authorities. They are BYU professors who really have no authority in and of themselves to speak on these issues if they drift away from what the leadership has already taught on these issues.
Maybe you're a Christian who has Mormon friends who have told them that they are Christian too. And I've had my Mormon friends tell me, well, you're a Christian as well. Well, this is what the manual says on page 92. It was the Church of Jesus Christ no longer. It was a church of men. So if you've lost all the authority, it's not fair to call me a Christian in the same sense that you would call yourself a Christian if you're a Latter-day Saint.
This is where I personally have a problem joining hands with anybody who thinks I'm part of some great apostasy. I have no problem joining hands with believers across many denominational lines because even though we may disagree on some of the minor secondary issues, we hold to the core beliefs of the Christian faith, so we can fellowship. I have a real problem joining hands with anybody who thinks I'm an apostate or thinks that somehow I'm a member of the Church of the Devil. I wonder if Roger Olson's ever read 1 Nephi 14:10.
Right.
Does he understand the seriousness of this? Or how about Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30, where Joseph Smith claims God told him that his church was the only church with whom God was well pleased?
I mean, just the Joseph Smith history, chapter 1, verse 19, when Joseph Smith supposedly had this encounter with God the Father and Jesus, that Joseph Smith said he was answered that he must join none of them, for they were all wrong, and the personage who addressed me said all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
I can only wonder, does Dr. Olson really believe that because he's reading a book called LDS Beliefs, that somehow that's not true anymore? Have you heard anywhere, Eric, where the Mormon Church has called back what you just read there?
In 2014, the LDS youth had to memorize this passage in the Pearl of Great Price. So I don't think
In their seminary classes.
In their seminary classes, mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is something that is not lost and is still being instructed even to the youth.
And it's also being instructed to the missionaries themselves. In Preach My Gospel, it also mentions very specifically that the missionaries are supposed to tell prospective members, investigators as they are called, they are supposed to instruct them on this idea of the great apostasy. So these people involved in the book LDS Beliefs can soften the tone all they want, but again, we would say that if they are, they're probably misleading people in what they're telling them. And unfortunately, Dr. Olson has bought that presentation.
This is more of a 21st century presentation of Mormonism and correcting, I guess you would call it political correctness, and trying to make it sound better to people like Olson so they'll be more accepting of it, and trying to distance themselves from the old 20th century or 19th century Mormonism. But Mormonism, as far as Salt Lake City is concerned, has not distanced itself.
That's absolutely correct. It has not changed on this view of the great apostasy. They taught back then, and they teach it today, that there was this universal apostasy of the Christian faith. Only the Mormon Church is true, and even the church that Dr. Olson attends is a part of this great apostasy. Then it switches and it goes back to the book LDS Beliefs and talks about what it says regarding Jesus.
It says, most importantly, perhaps, LDS Beliefs is much more Christ-centered than the earlier books of Mormon beliefs and more grace-centered. Less emphasis is placed on the necessity of works for ultimate salvation and more emphasis is put on Christ's atoning work, God's grace and mercy, and human faith, all without diminishing the importance of personal holiness and faithfulness as fruits of forgiveness and reconciliation.
First of all, they can't get away from the idea of works when it comes to their salvation and or forgiveness because it's found right in their scripture. DNC 1 verse 32 makes it very clear that the Mormon does not get forgiveness until they have repented of all their sins and kept all the commandments. That's how that verse is understood. Repentance in Mormonism is confessing your sin and forsaking them, all of them, never to return to them again. That is true repentance. And then it talks about keeping the commandments. It certainly means all of the commandments. So that cannot be changed. But let's talk about another issue. They can talk more about Jesus, but who is the Jesus of Mormonism? That seems to often be overlooked when these academics talk about the Jesus Christ of the LDS faith, because certainly there would be a difference between how Mormons understand Jesus and how we as evangelicals would understand Jesus.
Well, let's take a quick look at Bruce McConkie, who we talked about yesterday that he mentioned. In Mormon Doctrine, page 323, Christ attained God godhood while yet in preexistence. He too stood as a god to the other spirits, but this relationship was not the same one of personal parenthood that prevailed between the father and his offspring.
Well, let me ask this question. Do you think Dr. Olson really believes that Jesus became a god in the preexistence? Key word, became, yep. Which means he wasn't God at some point in time? I would hope not.
I mean, John 1:1 certainly says that he was God from the very beginning. How about page 269 of that same book, Mormon Doctrine? Bruce McConkie says, and virtually all the millions of apostate Christendom have abased themselves before the mythical throne of a mythical Christ.
So, obviously, McConkie thinks that the Jesus we're believing in is not the true Jesus, unless, of course, he's assuming that he also believes in a mythical Jesus, which I don't think that's what McConkie was trying to get across.
And then BYU Associate Professor W. Jeffrey Marsh said in 2004, printed in the Church News, that there is no salvation in false doctrine, no redeeming power in misunderstanding about Jesus Christ, his divinity, nor his mission. As he declared, our ability to inherit eternal life is directly related to our understanding of Christ and his doctrines.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement, that there is no redeeming power in misunderstanding about Jesus Christ and his divinity. Now, that's an interesting statement because that's what a lot of the early church fathers certainly held to, and why we had councils to discuss what people were saying about Jesus and making sure that the errors were dispelled. But then Robert L. Millett makes a comment that I found fascinating, which I think puts a lot of this in perspective.
He said in a book called Worlds of Joseph Smith, although we are rejoicing more, in a strict sense, nothing in the Latter-day Saint doctrine of Christ has changed in the last 175 years.
That's an interesting comment, Dr. Millett. I wonder if Mr. Olson is familiar with that statement that you've made, because a lot of what we've said about Christ certainly has been made by Mormon leaders in the past 175 years, which you say has not changed regarding Jesus Christ. So when Bernard P. Brockbank, for instance, in a conference message in April of 1977 said, it is true that many of the Christian churches worship a different Jesus Christ than is worshiped by the Mormons, then are we to believe that he was telling the truth? That was said within the last 175 years. And when we also have Milton R. Hunter, a Mormon 70, in his book, The Gospel Through the Ages, page 51, where he said, Jesus became a God and reached his great state of understanding through consistent effort and continuous obedience to all the gospel truths and universal laws. Would we not assume that that's true Mormon doctrine?
And if it is true, it's not the biblical teaching that you and I accept as Christians.
It certainly would not be. So even though they may be talking about a Jesus, I think it would behoove Dr. Olson to ask Dr. Millett quite specifically what Mormon leaders have taught about Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.